Okay, before we start, I just have a responsibility. Learning in the shul this week is sponsored by Juna and Alex Fuchsman and family in memory of Leif Ben Baruch, Alex's father. So, of course, this chabura should serve as a schus aliyas neshama together with the wonderful things that Juna and Alex stand for and what they and their kids are trying to do for Am Yisrael. And, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help the neshama have an aliyah as well, and our Dibrei Torah should work there within. I wanted to do something exciting tonight. It is Parshas Chayei Sarah, which means Parsha of Shidduchim, right? It's a Parsha of weddings and all sorts of things. But before you get to a wedding, you have to deal with a Shidduch. After all, Eliezer becomes a Shadchan. He tries to deal with the situation. And so I want to raise four topics tonight, four Shilas. These are all real Shilas in some way, shape, or form. You know, pertinent information hidden so that you should not be able to identify the parties themselves, but in some way, shape, or form. And I've added some twists to sort of see, you know, how we can work out these shilas together. So question number one, I'll go through all four. You'll choose which ones you want to go through. I still have to get to Brooklyn tonight. My nephew actually, ironically, just got engaged, so I have to run. Thank you. So the show will be slightly shorter tonight, but I owe you if there's interest. My parents object to the boy or girl I'm dating. They argue that the shidduch is more than just something they oppose. They're disgusted by the person I'm dating, and they want me to end the relationship. Do I have to listen to them? And does it make a difference if I'm a male or a female? That's question number one. Question number two. I'm the Shadchan. I made a great shidduch for a terrific couple, and they got married a few weeks ago. It's an awesome wedding. No one from the Chassan side offered to pay me, and frankly, I don't like dealing with his father. He's a scary guy. So I want to claim Shadchanus from the couple themselves. May I? Yes, yeah, I can't get this one turned on. Question number three. I'm dating a girl who's the daughter of a Kohen. I like her a lot, but I heard that if you marry a Bas Kohen and you're not a Talmud Chacham, it's a bad thing. So I like Torah. Okay, maybe the rabbi speaks too long, but I wouldn't exactly call myself a Talmud Chacham. By the way, when you're the rabbi and this person comes and says that to you, it's kind of like funny, but okay. Right? Should I stop dating her? And also, the Gemara about marrying the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, so while I'm at it, my brother was just set up with a girl whose father learns Mishnah Yomis after davening and may even enjoy points to ponder and discusses the weekly Friday night question, but he's not exactly fluent in Shas. Neither is my brother. Should he pass up on the girl? That's question number three. And then number four, which I think is also kind of appropriate. I heard that a girl I know is dating Mr. Sly. I know Sly well, and I think he's a creep. Should I tell the girl? And does it make a difference if she asks me or not? Does it make a difference if he isn't really a creep, but what I know is that he's hiding information? And does it make a difference if the reason I know is that I dated him? So those are the four questions for tonight. Question number one is about the parents who really don't like my date, and the guy I'm really serious, or the girl I'm really serious with. Question number two, the shidduch that I want to claim from the people I made it for. Question number three, the daughter of the Kohen, the daughter of the Talmud Chacham, and number four, good ones. I'm getting the approval from Yeti. Right? These are all real, some way, shape, or form. They've been updated, but they're all real. So where should we start?
Four?
Okay, one. Okay, so let's see if we can do four and one. Okay, question number four is probably the most commonly asked question about Shidduchim. The number one most commonly asked question. And let's just go over it again, because the second recorder went on. I heard a girl I know is dating Mr. Sly. I know Sly well, and I think he's a creep. Should I tell the girl? So that's the first part of the question. Number two, does it make a difference if I'm asked or not? And number three, does it make a difference if he isn't a creep, but he may be hiding other information that I think may or may not be pertinent? And number four, does it make a difference if the reason I know is because I dated him? Thoughts?
We assume the person asking the question is a female?
Well, yes, we assume. Well, first of all, that's a good point. Ask the question. So you say that I'm assuming that it means that maybe that may be the pertinent information that I know. What difference does it make?
What the other information that you...
One second, let him finish. What difference does it make? Where are you going with that?
It might be Sakonis and Hoshos.
Because?
Well, anything could be Sakonis and
Hoshos. Right.
If there's knowledge of potential diseases.
Okay. So if the information is that he's hiding potential diseases, right, maybe I have a responsibility to report that type of information. Okay. What if I'm not asked? What if I have a code of ethics?
Well,
like, I don't know, the Hippocratic oath, confidentiality, right? The, now all of a sudden the scales sort of like sort of open up a lot, right? What about if I know because I dated him? Does that make a difference?
There's no confidentiality there.
That's right. So what do you, what did you want to say?
My question was, one of those questions was way too open ended. What if I know other stuff? I mean, there's such a huge range of other stuff.
So okay, so break it down.
I mean, do I know that he has six toes on his left foot? I mean, that's not the same thing as, do I know that he put his last date in the hospital?
Right.
There's completely different things.
Right. So what would you say? What's your advice? This question comes in, what's your advice? So we're going to have to break that down together, okay?
You know, because they dated him.
Right.
Puts a certain bias on it also.
Oh, very good. I noticed no one asked the other obvious question. At what point? So it goes without saying, let's start at the beginning, right? This, in my opinion, is probably the most common and most frustrating question that I get asked on a week-to-week basis as a rabbi or a somewhat of a living neighbor in this community at large. It's frustrating because people call you, and I never understand what they want to know. And they ask you weird, open-ended questions, like, what kind of shoes does the person wear? And like,
what?
Another room for six toes, right? And it's more complex because nowadays these questions don't get asked as the couple's dating. They get asked way, way, way early. And there's a certain danger in that. My friend Rav Daniel Feldman, who we quoted last week, right? So he quotes Daniel Solov. Daniel Solov wrote a book called The Future of Reputation. And Solov writes as follows. Revealing private facts when first getting to know someone can be distorting, right? Immediate honesty can be costly. When we first meet, we have little invested in that person, so that if we learn something unpleasant, it's easy to walk away, right? The Stipler makes the same comment before Solov wrote it. The Stipler in Yevamos, and it's Simon Lamed Ches. I actually mentioned this to David Lichtenstein, who's in the middle of a two-part program on the very same subject right now. Very worthwhile listen on headlines. So I quoted this Stipler. I'm not on the show this way. I was commenting after last week's show, right? The Stipler uses the following language. He says, Kol davar katan mevatal mekach. You have to understand every small detail, right? In the early stage of a relationship can destroy something. In fact, certainly serious things can sometimes... the timing of when a person should reveal the information about himself or herself becomes a very important deal. Rav Moshe Feinstein has two tshuvas on the issue. And the first one, which is in Orach Chaim, Chelek Dalet Simon Kuf Yud Ches, a girl writes him, let's just say she was less than chaste in high school, right? And now she's dating a guy seriously, and she wants to know, what am I supposed to do about revealing this? Do I have to tell him? Right? So Rav Moshe says, of course you have to tell him, right? That vada atzricha legalo slo, you have to tell him. Avol ein einach tzricha lahagidlo b'raya v'hakara v'depam rishona. It's usually not good fodder for the first date, right? Like, oh, where did you spend summers? I went to whatever camp. I used to go rowing on the river. Me, I met a guy once, and we had a very hot and heavy relationship. So it's a promotion. That's not exactly the right thing to reveal. Sha'adayin lo yaduam yirtza b'chlal. We don't know what the guy's going to go with. So Ramosha goes on to say, at that point in time, it's not only that it's not good advice. Ramosha says, Osir. And you're not allowed to. There's a great volume that I bought last year. It's called Shailos Utshuvos Pua, right? The Pua Foundation, which is a very important foundation, deals with important issues of halacha and fertility around the world. So they started posting, printing many of their tshuvas. We've quoted them on other occasions. I took a course with them a number of years ago. They're phenomenal. So in this one volume that just came out, which is supposed to serve to a certain degree as a madrich lechasanim, is supposed to be there to help teachers who teach chasanim and kalos to introduce them to many of the halachos. Well, there's one chapter in the book, like sort of very early on, about how to have conversations and what you should talk about. And believe it or not, this serves as an important role. And Shai left, there must be 30 shilas in there about which information to reveal and when. So there are a number of instances where revealing the situation, you know, makes a difference. And another thing to point out is that timing is important. On the one hand, if you say things too early, you're going to kill your dating. On the other hand, saying things too late is a violation of an issur in the Torah called onas dvarim. You think you're dating somebody, and the girl or the guy, you think you're putting all your efforts into the relationship, and he's a liar, he's a thief, he's a this, right? And you know what happens if you wait too long? So, you know, that comes a problem. Now, let's add the factor that we added in this question. So that's part of the responsibility that people have to tell, right? And there is no question that that on many, many issues, there, it's very important to share important and pertinent information. And since it's way too long a shiloh to get every single one, like I said, it's about 30 pages just in this one sefer in the Puah Foundation. I'm not going to be able to go through every single shiloh under the sun. In the Otar HaPoskim, which is a 31-volume work on Eben Ha'ezer. So in the volume of Simen Nun, in Sif Vav, and Eben Ha'ezer, Simen Nun, Sif Vav, it talks all about different reasons why a person can be chozer from a shidduch. What are the different reasons? So they spend like an inordinate amount of paper and ink discussing all the different flaws that can be found in a shidduch, whereby a person has a right to pull away, in which instances not so. Right? You're talking about a lot of things. Can't cover it in a short chabura. But suffice it to say that there are a lot of serious issues, and a person has to be careful before one decides not to disclose. And certain issues, it may wind up being such that the whole, if you take it all the way through to fruition, it may have a mekach tos. We just had this, today, in the Mishnah Yomis. Right? Yesterday and today, about where a person thought that they were getting married under one set of pretenses, and there wasn't. The Kiddushin is not chal in such a situation. Not to mention a lot of pain and hardship. A person has to be careful. On the other side, Rabbi Shaft always used to tell us, I've heard it in private, in public, I think he quoted it from Rabbi Yashub at one point, that usually somewhere around the third or the fourth date in the yeshivish circles, and probably by us, it'd probably be about the, you know, the end of the 1 month period. I wouldn't go that far, but it seems that, you know, around the 1 month mark, if you're still not sick of each other, right, that's the time to start having these conversations. I can't put a number on it the way that Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Shachter do, but I will say to you that there's a certain point that I've shared this with my patients on a number of occasions, where I've said to them, like, you can tell at a certain point you stop interviewing each other and you start figuring out if you can work together. At that point, you better make sure you put things on the table so that you don't wind up in tough situations where people aren't sharing things. Go ahead.
So the tshuva of Moshe is about one of the members of the shidduch giving over information about themselves. But when if somebody comes over to me and they ask me, can you set me up with that girl? And I know something, and I, you know, it's, I don't have to wait for him to hit the third date to say, without telling him what the problem is, I don't think it's for you.
Ah, so yes, you just like nailed it home with like three different parts of our shaila. In our shaila, we pointed out that you know, on the one hand, Yossi says, like, I don't have to wait. There's no basis of relationship. On the other side of it, Yossi, if I do not wait, and the guy was just trying to figure out, let's say there was an issue. For the sake of the conversation, it wasn't. You might think it's a very important issue, and I might think it's an important issue, but I'm not ready to share it. So I treated a guy once who had terrible anxiety about being in public, and he went through therapy, and he's, you know, now a public speaker, right? Which is pretty impressive, right? And he works himself over like crazy. But at one point in time, that was a big issue. So he asked the shaila. He was told he has to reveal it, but he shouldn't reveal it early. So he's dating this girl, and they're in the middle of Kikar Shabbos in Yerushalayim, right? On this date, it's a pretty public place, and he turns to her, and before he can say anything, she says, by the way, yesterday I heard this about you, and I want you to know something. I think you're a liar and a faker. Why? Because you didn't share that once upon a time you had this anxiety about being in public. So, you know, he says to me, like, what's up with that? You know, where did that come from? You know, why would somebody go ahead and do that to him? So I told him, you know, to be quite honest, you know, if the girl would have stopped and looked at, here you are, you're discussing it. He says, I took her to Kikar Shabbos, probably the most public place in the world. And I, in his world, right? And in the middle of this, I wanted to tell her Then she should show her, this is what I used to, a place like this would have driven me nuts before. And now I'm very comfortable and I'm able to do this. And, I mean, I don't want it to be the center of my broadcast life, but, you know, it's certainly something I'm not afraid to discuss. And some, you know, Johnny Come Lately came along because of, you know, the... because of the KGB investigational service that all of a sudden turned up that I had a problem. What am I supposed to do in that situation? So you have to understand, well, on the one hand, you said, I don't have a responsibility. Rabbi Yamin Cohen is the author of a Sefer called...
Right. Before it even starts.
So Rabbi Yamin Cohen, the author of the Chalkas Binyamin, I think he's Rav Feivel Cohen's son. So he has a number of svarmen. Very wonderful Talmid Chacham. So in one of the volumes of Chalkas Binyamin, he wrote it on the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. And in that Sefer, on page 364, he says, you have to be very careful, because if you do reveal information way too early, you may ruin a shidduch even further. Something that you thought was very important to know, and it is important, right? So certain things, like, you know, the shidduch is going to be oismit in shidduch, right? But certain things, it's just a question of he didn't reveal that information beforehand, right? So now he gets known as a faker and a liar, and that's a serious issue, right? So, in such a situation, you can have a problem. I know of a situation where a girl had anxiety. They got married. Right before they got married, right before they stopped seeing each other, right? So the girl said, I have terrible anxiety. And she hadn't hid the information all the way through. She said, I get nervous sometimes, but she downplayed it. And it was a lot more serious than that, right? And that's what she told him. But she said, I've been working on myself and everything will be fine. The guy freaked out because he had anxiety. Right? Now they're worried, like, what's going to happen to our kids? They're going to be, like, coming out, they're going to want to go backwards. They're not going to want to be born. They're going to be so scared of the hullabaloo that they're going to be born in. So things worked out. They ended up getting married. But the challenge and the heartache that they went through during the engagement period was lo yu'un. Why? Because she waited too long. On the other side of it, she asked him, and what would have happened if I told you on the first date? Or if you would have found that out to me while you were checking into me, he says, I blame my mother every day, for, right? My mother didn't do good homework, right? I blame her every day. The person has to understand that, you know, if your mother didn't do the homework, so that or she decided she didn't, she didn't want to share the information, you have to realize that there's danger there. A person has a responsibility to understand. The Rambam writes that in terms of describing the Aveira of Lashon Hara, he says you're destroying many souls in the process. A person has to go ahead and have a little bit of seichel. But I mentioned the Chafetz Chaim, and you can't have this conversation if you don't mention the Chafetz Chaim. How can you talk about Lashon Hara and not talk about Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen of Radin? So in the very end of Sefer Chafetz Chaim, all the way through the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, the Shidduch question comes up over and over and over again. At the end of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, in the end of the ninth klal, he sets up a bunch of cases, and then he turns around and he explains what the halacha is. So the Chafetz Chaim in Hilchos Rechilus in Klal Tes, he tries to set up the six-prong test to realize whether you have to reveal information about somebody. And here I think the six prongs will help us to a certain degree understand some of the issues at hand. First of all, the first thing you got to make sure is that the information has to be true. You'd be surprised at the number of things that we know, right? I was accosted once by somebody who said to me, I heard that you said this. I said, Lo, I have a little neighbor. Yes, you said it in Bris Avram on Shabbos morning from the pulpit. Say, but Pemale, I've never been in Bris Avram on Shabbos morning and never spoken from the pulpit on Shabbos morning. There was one time I spoke at a podium in front of Bris Avram, and it was unfortunately after a serious situation that required a response from the community, so we all got together to say Tehillim many, many years ago. That was the single and only time I've ever spoken in Bris Avram, right? And so whatever the person said, Bit Pemale, that never happened, was clearly false on the front. You have to make sure your information is true. Two, the flaw has to be something of significance. Now, how do you determine what is significant? So, but you have to understand. The example you brought before, I think it's a very serious significance. But there are, believe it or not, Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg is quoted in that Sefer Papua, that if a person once had a relationship, right, of the type that you described, right, and the person has undergone treatment, and the person says it was a Maisa Naris, right? She was hanging out with her friends. She got a little tipsy and drunk. and she had a relationship with one of her friends, and she's embarrassed and she's shocked, and she reveals that to a marriage partner. Forget it, right? So Rav Zalman Nechemya says sometimes you don't have to reveal that information. You have to know what's going on, right? He also adds, by the way, and he's not the only one, the author of the Sefer adds in that if you're dealing with people who don't care, right, which we're going to see in a minute, you have to, you know, that's an issue. Number three, the third test, that the intention in revealing the information has to be pure. You can't be a nogeya badavar. This is a crucial part, because most of the time, the information we know as a third party, we know because we don't like it, right? We don't like it. We got burned by the guy. This is like probably number one on the things that happen. Oh, you went out with such and such a guy. Oh yeah, you should not go out with him. Why not? Because he didn't take me. Right? Oh, do you know this such and such a girl? I remember before I got married, so I lived with another guy who was terrific. So I went out with a girl. And then 3 weeks later, my friend gets set up with her, and my roommate, and he goes out with a girl. He doesn't say a word about it until after he comes back from the date. So I said, you didn't say a word about it? He says, I know you went out with her 3 weeks ago. I said, and? He says, I also know you weren't interested. I said, yeah, and? He says, so what do I need to ask you for? Right? What are you going to tell me? She chooses her mouth open. You know, she rejected you, or you rejected her. It's obviously not going to happen, so I didn't ask. That's why the people I lived with are tzaddikim, right? It's tov l'tzaddik, tov l'shcheino. But most people aren't like that. The session, my mother used to say all the time, she said, you know, the sessions that you have to have when you come back from a date, the girl has to call all of her friends. She used to chide my two sisters and torture them. You know, why do you have to call your friends after every date? You know, don't. Why don't you sit down and try to think about whether you want to go out again, right? What you're doing is you're creating a community. Right, and sometimes some of the things are important. There are a lot of creepy guys out there. There are a lot of creepy girls out there, right? But on the other side of it, you got to make sure that you know you're not looking to spite in any way. Yeah.
Sometimes though, even though you went out with a person 3-4 times, and you say, "Look, they're a very nice person, but what they want in life is not what I want in life." But I know so much about them because I've been going out with them for, you know.
Right, so a person has to be able to know. So a person has to be able to know that. So I had that problem this week. So you know, so I'm looking at the material and I'm thinking about the shadow. I'm thinking, you know, it's not so carte blanche that just because you went out with a person that you're automatically next, right? I can think of girls that I went out with, and I'm sure my wife was able to think of a couple guys that she didn't think it was so bad to say. So you know, if she would be asked, that she'd have nice things to say about them. Just because it didn't work out for me doesn't mean it doesn't work out for somebody else. So you're right. But what happens when I do know something? I had a bad interaction with a person because he's a nasty person, or she's a histrionic personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, right? And I can tell, and I know it. And the person comes and asks information. And someone says, oh, why don't you ask Rabbi Schwartz? He knows them, right? What are you supposed to do in that situation? I had bad interactions with the person, right? And I really know that I would share that information, and I'd like to think it would be for pure motive, but I can't promise.
Well, can you be objective? I mean, that's the question. If you think
I can't be objective, but the person's got borderline personality disorder. So, you're going to get into a relationship, you're going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? Or he's going to woo you, right? That all the way through, till you get down the aisle, close the door, and in the yichud room, and then he'll throw you down on the floor and say, okay, now go kiss my shoes. Right? And if you think I'm crazy, on either one of those cases, I can introduce you to many, many, many therapists who will tell you that these things happen all the time. Right? And it's a sad situation. So just because I got out of the situation and I know the guy's a jerk and I know it because I experienced it, that means I shouldn't tell you?
I mean, I don't know in a situation where there was a relationship and the guy was physically abusive and the girl... He was subsequently going out with another one of her friends.
Right.
And she said, what? And just because she was the subject of abuse doesn't mean she's not allowed to tell someone else.
So how do you handle that situation? Right. Chafetz Chaim says that it's not objective. Right? What am I supposed to do? So first of all, one of the things you do is you call a Rav. Right? And you say to the Rav, look, this is my situation. What do I do? The guy beat me to a pulp. Right? The girl, like, she's a borderline. She's a diagnosable borderline. Right? She did this to this guy and this to this guy, but we're all burned, right? What do we do in that situation? You know, There's sometimes, if necessary, there's a way to get the word out. We'll see another possibility in a second, right? The fourth is that the person has to listen. In the case that I remember the Shaila coming up in most clearly to me, someone asked me about a guy, a girl he knows, who's dating a guy, very seriously. They had just gotten engaged. And the guy that she was engaged to had cheated on his first wife, right? And with any person in their apartment building who was willing, male or female. So the guy who asked me, the Shaila, says to me, do I reveal that information? I think he's a dirtbag. I am totally not objective. But I said, forget about being totally not objective. Do you think that the girl's going to listen? He says, maybe. So he calls the girl. And he tells the girl, I just need to let you know, right, that I care about you, I think you're a nice person, etc. But you should just check into your husband's background because, in his first marriage, he tried to have relations with every married person in the building, male or female. And she said, you're crazy. How dare you call me and say things like that. So he called me up, he was in tears. He said, this is what I decided to do, this is what happened. Am I a jerk? And so he told me recently that, now that the girl is divorced, this is the second wife, she's divorced 3 years, right? She's only sorry that she didn't listen to him. So sometimes you have to be careful that the information will have an effect, right? And that's step number four. Number five, you can't exaggerate, which is a really tough thing to do, right? But it's tough, right? And a person has to be careful about that. Number six, there can't be an alternative way of getting the desired goal without revealing the information, right? In other words, if you can go to the Rav, or you can find, or if you can give an answer, whereby you're not going to sit in feshmet of the guy, whereas I don't think he's for you, right? Why? I don't think he's for you. Why? Well, he likes to box a lot, and you're not really into boxing, right? Okay, you may be able to go in that situation, or you may want to say, well, what do you think about XYZ, right? And again, each situation is overwhelming, and therefore, a person needs to learn how to ask the Shilas. But getting back to where we started, you think he's a creep, right? Do you tell the girl? If you're asked, you have a much more serious responsibility of providing the information. You can't lie. How do you walk away from a situation? All right? So if you're asked, you're in one place. If you're totally in a different place, it's a different ballgame. Medically, you have a problem sometimes. What do you do? Medically, therapeutically, if you know the person, right? You're a dentist. What if a guy comes into you for a treatment? What happened to him? He bit his neighbor, right? And he lost two of his teeth in the neighbor's arm, right? So you see, the guy, he has a certain condition where he bites people. So, is that something that you feel is, damaging? That could be a very serious problem. So each of these cases has to be discussed. And it does make a difference if you dated him or not, because it plays a role in the objectivity, but that doesn't mean that you all of a sudden take everything and toss it out the window. It means that you have to stop and learn. And not every flaw that you perceive as a flaw is a flaw. It's issues. I'm sure we'll come back to this type of a shayla many, many times together, because some of the conditions are just mind-boggling. It's just, if I showed you tshuva after tshuva after tshuva after tshuva that we went through, and these are also the tip of the iceberg. But to realize timing makes a difference, and person makes a difference, and information makes a difference, and connection makes a difference. Really, it's not such an easy shaila to put on the table. But we still have Baruch Hashem guidance from the Chafetz Chaim and from the Rambam and from some of the other poskim to know that not everything disappears. Okay, so let's move on to one more, because I promised Matt if I pick her up on time to go to Brooklyn. So I think you wanted number one. Right? So let's try to do number one. I'll read it again. My parents are disgusted by the boy or girl I'm dating, right? And they want me to end the relationship. Do I have to listen to them? Huh? Does it make a difference if I'm a guy or a girl?
The Mishnah today said no.
Why?
It's only if you marry her on the condition.
Right. So it's funny. I was thinking about that when we were learning the Mishnah this morning. The Mishnah Yomis of today says, Almanasha Erza Abba. Right? If he gives her the ring and says, you're married on the condition that my father agrees to the shidduch, then she's mekudeshes, and if the father doesn't want, then she's not mekudeshes. Very good. So it would sound like if he didn't say anything, it wouldn't make a difference. Yeah, but in this case, it's the opposite. Why is that? Because the parent disagrees and has come out and said. So there's a Ma'arik in Sha'al Shechuvas Ma'arik who says, who provides three different reasons as to why a child doesn't need to listen to a parent in Shidduch matters. The first one is that we, like we talked about last week, Kibud Av Va'Em is Mishal Av, not Mishal Bein, right? That the financial responsibility of Kibud Av Va'Em is the father's financial responsibility. The child doesn't have the financial responsibility. And so therefore, this is a financial issue that affects the child, and so therefore, he doesn't have to answer to the parent, too. The child, the father, there's a mitzvah peruvu, right? And the father and the mother, by saying that I don't want you to marry that person, is going against the Torah. And number three, what's to say that the father's injecting his opinion in an area that doesn't seem to affect him? So why does that make a difference? So the Ramah in Yoridea, in Simen Reish Mem Sif Chav Hei, does make the point, if the father is sitting there saying, I'm against the girl you want to marry, you don't have to listen to the father. So the Sefer HaMakna, which is one of the commentaries on the Masechta Kiddushin, it's actually, this comment appears on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, quotes the Ramah, and he suggests that the words of the Ramah are limited to marriage. But in other matters that do not directly affect the father, the child does need to listen. So the Klausenberger Rebbe in Chayos Shetshuvos Divrei Yatziv, Yerideya Simen Kuf Chaf Hei, so he adds that this seems to be because the father's asking the son to go against the Torah. It's unique to marriage because the father's asking the child to go against the Torah. Why? So the Divrei Yatziv also happens to add another factor over here, that Shaila that the Divrei Yatziv was dealing with had to do with parents who didn't want their child to get married at all. You know why? The child worked for the parents. And if he gets married, he's not going to work so well for the parents. His wife's going to be dragging him a chinek. So getting married, so it sounds like he's saying if they have something else in the game, they can have a prevailing opinion. If they don't have a horse in the game, they have nothing to say, except when marriage comes to play, because not getting married, there is a mitzvah to get married. So the Noda Behuda also in Shas Chuvas Noda Behuda Tinyana Eben Ezer Memhei notes that the rule is the same thing for a girl. That is to say, if a girl wants to marry a certain boy and the parents say, we can't stand that guy, she also doesn't have to listen to her parents. However, it should be pointed out that the Shas Chuvas Torah Lishma says that's ridiculous. Why? She has no mitzvah, peruvu, which means ergo, she has no mitzvah to get married, right? And so therefore, she doesn't have a mitzvah. She has hechsher mitzvah. She's helping her husband be mekayim a mitzvah, peruvu. But here she has her own mitzvah. And what's the mitzvah? So you hear the Torah Lishma's question on the No to Behuda? It's a good question.
Same issue of
Mishalav. Huh?
Same issue of Mishalav.
Fine, but what does she lose? Is her father take care of her and her husband take care of her? What do you think?
She's losing potential mizonos.
Huh? She's not losing potential mizonos. She's getting the mizonos from the father. So
doesn't have an obligation like a
ksuba. So Rabbi Waldenberg, the famous Tzitz Eliezer in Chas Chuvas Tzitz Eliezer Chelak Yud Gimel Simen Ayin Ches, and also in Chelak Tezvav Simen Samach. I'm sorry, Simen Ayin Dalet and Rav Ovadia Yosef, because you know whether Rav Ovadia talks about something, he totally has covered the issue from coast to coast. So this tshuva appears in Yeridea in Yabia Omer. Volume Ches, Chelek Ches, Yerideya Simen Chav Beis. So they both discount the Torah Lishma, and they both argue the same thing. She is not obligated in Puravu, but she is obligated in Lasheves Yitzara, that she's supposed to have the way of the world. And by the way, the rules of Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha also apply to her. And so she, you know, in the same way that she, in the same way that we say that the a man should not marry a girl until he sees her, because the Torah says, V'yavtecha l'reicha kamocha, the first Gemara, the second parak of Kiddushin. So too, a woman has a right to not marry somebody until she sees him as well. And if there was no parallel, right, then she would just be given away. And we don't hold that way, l'halacha. However, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in Emes L'Yaakov on Shulchan Aruch, is quoted as saying that since a girl is in the reshus of her parents, she needs to listen to them. So I'm thinking, as I'm looking at this comment from Yaakov Kamenetsky, what do you mean she's in the reshus of her parents? Most girls today don't get married when they're in the reshus of their parents. So I didn't really understand the fullness of Rabbi Yaakov's comment, but I have to call Rabbi Neustadt. He'll hopefully be able to fill me in. Now, the Torah Tumim at the end of Parshas Toldos points out, because what happens at the end of Parshas Toldos? Esav goes and he marries Machal Asbas Yishmael. So the Torah Tumim over there, he comments that, you know, Yaakov is told by Yitzchak that Kum Leich Padana Aram Besa Besuel, right? You should run away to Padana Aram. And he doesn't say, please go. He says, go! Go to Padana Aram and go get a wife from Lavan, right? So the Torah Tumim says, Yitzchak commands Yaakov to go not to marry a girl from Benos Kenan, and he shouldn't have been allowed to command it, right? If a child has no obligation to listen to a parent, right? Hear the Torah Tumim's question? Well, he should have said Bivakasha, right?
What's the child over there? If he could marry two sisters, and his father could tell him to marry.
No, he should have talked nicely. He's Yitzchak Avinu, he should talk nicely, right? So the Torah Tumim says, "The im kol b'nei hamishpacha nisharim l'schatim b'mishpacha yidua al kigon ze yesh la'av l'tzavos abanav shalo yischatim b'osa mishpacha." Even if we hold that a parent doesn't have a right to insert his opinion in the matter in totality, but as far as a family minhag, if there was a family minhag to stay away from another family for whatever reason, so now if this child goes ahead and violates the family minhag, right, so then it becomes a little bit more of a fundamental disagreement, and the father does have a right to go ahead. Now, it's not because the father has a right for kibbutz va'im reasons, the father has a right because I set the minhagim here, and I set the minhagim here, and therefore I can tell you, you have to follow the family minhag.
Would that fall in line with if a child wanted to marry, or engage and marry someone who wasn't Shomer Shabbos, like a big downgrade in Yiddishkeit, that the father could say, yes, you have a mitzvah peruvu, but
yeah, it should
also bring you down.
Cool.
Right?
Like, say, I don't want you to go to Benos Kenan, I want you to go, like, so there's...
So, according to the Torah Tumim, it sounds like the answer is yes.
Go back a step, a father tells his son, I don't want to marry you. Marry Sephardia, or a Sephardi guy says, tells his daughter, I don't want you to marry an Ashkenazi.
So, technically speaking, if they're according to the Torah Tumima, let's slow down a minute, right? Because obviously, we see that others say that that the Torah Tumima is not correct. But according to the Torah Tumima and his comment, you could say if there was a family minhag, if it was very clear that all the members of the family, we had this here in a number of years ago. Someone walks up to my wife, totally forgetting where my wife comes from. It says, can you believe it? The daughter was like 38 years old, and she married a very nice Sephardi guy. She says, can you believe it? She finally got married. All she could get was a Sephardi guy. So my wife says to her, what's wrong with a Sephardi guy? My father's a Sephardi guy, right? So it was like kind of funny. You know, a person has to understand, like, you know, sometimes you make silly, stupid rules. You limit everybody. That's ridiculous. And by the way, someone else in the community told me popcorn's not so bad on Pesach when you're an Ashkenazi and you marry into a Sephardi family and your whole family's watching as they're in your house and you get to eat the popcorn but they can't. Right? It's not so bad. Doesn't sound so bad anymore. Okay, yeah, he gets up extra early to go say slichas. So, you know, okay, I hear. So this leads the Netziv, this leads the Netziv to a fascinating comment. The Netziv in Shalos Tshuvos Meishiv Davar in Yoredeya Simon Kuf Nun, so he adds that if an issue will become a bizoyon, an embarrassment to the parents, then the son shouldn't go and marry the other person. That would be not a problem of violating Kibbutz Ava'im, but rather it's a question of Arur Maklei Aviv V'Imo, that a person is not allowed to curse his parents. Right? Yes, you can't go ahead and do so. Now, a father has the ability to be moichel on his kavod, aviv shemachal kvodo kvodo mochel. A father cannot be moichel on his bizayim. And that's what Rosh Sternbruch comes along in his commentary on Chumash, and he explains that was Rivka's argument to Yitzchak. What does Rivka say? When Yaakov Avinu was sent off, Yitzchak gives a command. That's the Torah Tumima. But what does Rivka say? A very famous comment. Right, I'll tell you why that became a funny comment in a minute, and why it's so famous. Right, but katzdi bechayai, she says, I can't handle it. Ugh, it makes me want to vomit. I'm going to lose my wife, my life. Right. So Rosh Sternbruch says she said katzdi bechayai. It wasn't a question of the fact that of the choice. She finds it disgusting. It's going to kill her. It's going to kill her. That's a different story. That's an error situation. It just parenthetically, by the way, that pasuk became famous because of the debate. There was a period of time where a lot of Hasidic shidduchim were going bad, and there was going to be a lot of divorces. So Moshe Bick from Brooklyn, a famous rabbi in Brooklyn at that time. So he said that he made a takana that everyone should go out at least 8 times. So Rabbi Elish Teitelbaum came out, the famous Satmar Rebbe, and he came out and he said, I can't have it. I get sick from the people who go out 8 times. So someone said to me, how do you say that to Moshe Bick? So Moshe Bick says it's very simple. The Satmar Rebbe, he's a Rebbe. So what is he? Masada Kedushin. So he didn't know. I'm a Masada Gittin. I see what happens when you don't go out 8 times. That's a very famous comment. Rabbi Shechter used to tell it to us all the time. I hear that Reb David Lichtenstein used it on the radio show. So that pasuk is a very important pasuk for us to understand this issue. Now, Reb Yonah Zweig in Chalos HaTshuvos Ol Moshe explains that if the woman was an Isha Kshera, and the father just doesn't like the woman, right? So then the child doesn't need to listen. Otherwise, he has to, right? The Stechemed in Klal Kibud Av Ha'Im. So it also quotes a lot of people who note that bad midos are an anathema. If a child has really bad midos, you need to listen. The Klausenberger that we mentioned before, and Divrei Yatziv, and Rav Lezer Yehuda Waldenberg both consider the command to violate the issue over here. To be very serious. Before you decide, oh, we're going to listen to the parents, it has to really, really be a serious matter. And why is that? Because a person has to understand that as far as shidduchim are concerned, you know, you can't just go ahead and have children with just anyone. So just to be mevantel, because it's a Sephardi, it's a Ashkenazi, right? They come from Elizabeth instead of Hillside, or Hillside instead of Elizabeth.
That's valid.
Right? So, you know, whatever the issue may be at hand, you know, you have to understand, you think it's a small issue, ha ha, you got around. No, you're playing with a very, very serious matter. And so the best advice, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, we mentioned that wonderful sefer that he wrote last week, the Bina B'Sfarim, Volume 4, so he quotes from Rav Shach and Rav Shlomo Zalman that you need to really make sure you use an Adam Gadol in these situations. And he says that sometimes when the children see, what children see is not what parents see, and sometimes the parents don't see what the children see. And so being able to work through it, and it will often help a lot of things move smoother. I can say to you, just in my, I am not an Adam Gadol, except from hip to hip, when I'm standing, you know, sideways, right? And I can say to you without a doubt, though, in my practice, there have been a number of times where parents and children were on very different pages, and you know, just being able to get everybody on the same page to understand where things are going have led to wonderful shidduchim. There's, you know, some of the people who used to hate my guts a lot, now all of a sudden, you know, say, oh, maybe being able to work through things and not hiding from each other can assist as well. I need to stop, unfortunately. We od chazon lamoed, I'm really appreciative, and Be'ezus Hashem, we'll continue in the upcoming week. Okay.
Sure.